Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The Score. This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
Listen, we talked about it. The moment the players got back in the building, it was going to be a competitive environment. There is no depth chart right now. If you want to play, you got to go earn it. If you want a role, you got to go earn it. They know that. So we were very straightforward and honest with them when they came into the building. I think all we did this weekend was we might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials for certain people in the building.
That was Ben Johnson. This is the Rahimi and Harris Show on a Mark Grote Monday, or Monday. Mark is getting out his one of his mini spotting sheets.
Gotta get my schedule out.
Your bear schedule?
I always got like two spotting sheets.
Yeah, I do. This one is like, this will have a little lasting power. Probably for another week, I'll throw this one away.
I have to fill out one of those this week.
Yeah.
Later.
You didn't do your Bears record yet?
No, that I've done.
You did? You went through every game?
Well, oh yeah, we were supposed to do that with you today, weren't we?
Yeah, we didn't finish that.
We got bogged down in crosstown and everything else.
Marshall
we'll
and I did
out.
That and Stud. So one of these days, Layla, we're going to do the exercise.
125, we can sneak that in there.
Okay.
That is actually a pretty good idea.
Okay.
Yeah,
totally,
125.
Well, 125 is also stadium stuff. And right now, as we broadcast live from the Scores Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, we go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. She usually also joins us on twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. It is Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports reporter, co-host of the Chicago Football Show podcast on Marquee, also known as Carmy V. Good to see you, Carmen.
Hey,
thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I just got my cell phone charger delivered, but
cell phone chargers are important. I always keep a good portable charger on me as well. The Bears need a bit of a charge, in my opinion. It's going to be a long season. Is that how you see it now?
What a transition, Marshall.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know what he is? He's a wet blanket.
I'm not a wet blanket. I'm a guy who said they're going to go 7-10. I can see it. I'm sure Carmen's closer to my prediction than your prediction.
That's how Marshall's getting this dollar back that he just gave me for cup socks.
No. We'll talk about that later.
I got 9-8. Carmy V,
what you got?
I had 8-9.
Yeah, she's right there with me.
She split the middle. Yeah.
What was your biggest factor in looking at it and saying there are 8 wins and 9 losses here?
The division. I mean, like, best case scenario, I think that in Ben Johnson's first year, you split the series, and then you also have to get, I mean, the NFC North has to play the AFC North and the NFC West this year. Like, they'll be lucky to get 8 wins, in my opinion. And it's not because I think they're going to be a bad team. I think that's a drastic improvement. And the biggest thing for me is that, like, Ben Johnson's going to go out and score some points. So that should be able to maybe steal you some. But at the same time, I am very prepared for this not to go well, especially initially. And the Bears having some catching up to do right when you start to get more of those division games against perhaps, again, the toughest division in football. So I honestly thought that was me being optimistic, even though it wasn't a winning record quite yet. But I think that that is still a drastic improvement over last season.
I think you're actually, I think you're, I mean, like, they lost 10 in a row last year. That's why, in reality, I'm not mad at Marshall. He's actually not a wet blanket to anybody who is being saying that they're going to win. I don't have an issue with that. I just went through the schedule, and that's what I came up with. And we're entitled to be wrong early.
No, I appreciate that, Mark. But, Carmen, here's my point with this. When I say 7-10, people are like, well, it's not a drastic improvement because they only won – how many games did they win last year? Five?
Five
games.
That's right.
Here's what I'll say about the five wins versus the seven wins this year. The seven wins will be coming against a much more difficult schedule than what they played last year, even though they played with the last place schedule. It's just a much more difficult schedule. And for me, it's as simple as that. I'm with you 100%, Carmen.
Yeah, this is not the year to be playing a last place schedule either, because you think about the teams that give you that you're playing with the last place schedule, and they're teams that could very well be good this year. I mean, probably Giants aside, but you were already playing the NFC East. But like, I look at teams across the league that finished in fourth place in their divisions, and I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, that like, sure, they could be bad, but I don't know. I think there's a lot of teams that uncharacteristically had down years last year that did a lot this offseason.
Like the Raiders.
like the Raiders. I mean, the AFC West is going to be a gauntlet too, because you already had multiple playoff teams in that conference or in that division. But I mean, the biggest thing is getting the AFC North. And when you like are like, oh, well, only two playoff teams came out of the AFC North last year. Yeah, well, the Bengals weren't one of them. And I'm expecting the Bengals to be a lot better this year. So I feel like that's three potential playoff teams that you're going to have to play just with that division. And I mean, yeah, the Browns are, they can stay in fourth place. That's fine. But stuff like I think that this schedule this year being in this division is just, it's going to be hard either way. And it's going to be hard for all of the teams. I don't expect it to be 15 wins for the top of this division. Like, I don't expect, even if Detroit ends up winning, I expect them to win with like, I think I had them at like 11 wins. 11 or 12, because I don't see how you gather up 15 wins with the schedule that this division has to play.
Well, I think about the Lions in particular, and they had a brain drain, as we know. That's why Ben Johnson is here. He's not the only one. Aaron Glenn goes away as well. But also, the 16 players that they had on injured reserve probably factors into their success in this division. I still think they're the class of the division. We don't even know what they really are once they're healthy.
Right. And, I mean, to be fair, they haven't been able to have field a healthy secondary for a full season in a couple of years. And that's kind of been the snake in the grass that's bitten them both of the last couple of years. But we've seen them have, obviously, drastic success in the regular season. That didn't translate to the postseason this year. But, I mean, getting Aiden Hutchinson back, even if he's not exactly the player he was before. I mean, he was on such a historic pace before he got hurt last season. He would have been by far and away the defensive player of the year. And if he comes back at 80%, that's still pretty darn good. And then you've also done a lot to address the potential injuries in the secondary on defense in particular. And you still have a really potent offense that is capable of scoring a ton of points to the point where I'm not worried about the Detroit Lions in the regular season. For as difficult as their schedule is, I know that they can still put up points with the roster they have, the talent they have, the quarterback they have, and the weapons. It's just a matter of how can the defense keep pace once the postseason comes along, which is what doomed them this year. But I still think I'm with you, Layla. I think they're the class of the division, and I'm not going to think that they're going to take a drastic step back until I see it. Now, the other teams in the NFC North, I think you have to think of this as an opportunity. And as an opportunity to gain some ground, but I don't know that that's necessarily going to be the case. The Lions just have a really, really good roster top to bottom.
Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports reporter and the co-host of the what's the marquee?
Oh yeah, they changed
the name.
Chicago Football Show. Yeah. We just changed names.
Okay,
it's on YouTube now. So
okay.
Bears on the marquee was catchy. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, so that
it was.
But Carmen's on with us. That's the important thing. She's on with Rahimi and Harris, featuring Mark Grody here on this Monday. I really want to ask you about this, your reception and what you thought about this article from Seth Wickersham. That's the reason why you're just now getting on with us after some time having to be delayed. But what did you think about the article? The only thing that I think that's important going forward is the fact that he didn't have the guidance that he felt like he needed clearly when it came to watching film. And that's something that can be fixed. I just think it was more showing you what the Bears as a dysfunctional organization pre-Ben Johnson was like. And I think going forward, though, it should be very different.
I'm hoping it's going to be very different, because a lot of the stuff that he said, I honestly came away from reading the excerpts from the book and then the article itself. I'm more impressed with Caleb Williams and the way that he handled things. I mean, you think about how young he is and how young players are when they get drafted, all of these politics and things that they have to navigate, the dynamics and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. You think about him coming out at the combine and speaking to reporters and really squashing all of these things that had already been rumored that turned out were true. And he handled that so well. And he gave the Bears a chance when they brought him in for the pre-draft interview. And he changed his mind and he didn't do anything drastic. And to make those decisions for as young of a person as he is, like, forget being a football player. This is a lot to deal with when you're 20, 21, 22. Like, I wouldn't have been well equipped to handle these kind of dynamics. And he has people around him that he went directly against, including his father, who wanted him to trash the city of Chicago and say, like, and get him out of there. And Caleb was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I can win with this organization. I can be part of this turnaround. And to make that decision, I came away thinking that, you know, he has an incredible amount of emotional maturity to have withstood all of that, knowing that he was probably going into a situation that he wasn't really fond of and doesn't have a history of developing players like him. And for him to say that he didn't know if he could do it with Shane Waldron, I mean, I remember it coming out when they first drafted Caleb that Shane Waldron had worked with Caleb when he was like 16, 17 in some of these like quarterback development clinics. And I think that coupled with just kind of the way that Shane Waldron exited Seattle, I'll be the first to say, I thought it was going to go so much better until the first game of the season and the first few games where Shane Waldron behaved completely, the offense in general behaved completely differently than I expected. I expected Caleb to be kind of waded into the waters, and I was hoping that, you know, the offensive line was going to try and take some stuff off his plate. They told me that that's what they were going to try to do, but it didn't seem like there was enough direction there. So now I hope there is, but this shows the dysfunction of not only the coaching staff, but the organization in that entire time. And it justifies Caleb Williams' concerns. So now you hope that things have changed. But I mean, dysfunctional organizations don't get functional overnight. So they made all of the right calls so far, which is what gives me optimism for this year. But I still think that I know that there's going to be bumps in the road. And Ben Johnson has said there's going to be bumps in the road. How they wade through those storms is going to tell you everything. And I think you're going to get those storms pretty early on, especially, again, with this schedule.
No, I think you're absolutely right, Carmen. And I remember the article that you had that came out early on in the season. And it was mostly talking about the utilization of pre-snap motion. But it was also about how the Packers were developing Jordan Love under the same arc is what the Bears were doing with Caleb Williams. And one of the takeaways was the discussion about how Williams did get some information before he was officially a Bear. You know, he did get a lot of that stuff in advance. And the Bears at the time were very proud of that. And now I look at that completely differently now that we have this other information added to what we know already. I don't know how that changed with you, but, you know, you're the one who wrote it.
Yeah, and that was the thing where I felt like there was a blueprint there to be had. Obviously, they're not the same player, Jordan Love and Caleb Williams, but you look at the way the article was basically comparing and contrasting how Green Bay develops quarterbacks overall. And the way that they do it isn't necessarily a blueprint for the rest of the league because of the fact they don't have an owner. They have the internal dynamics in Green Bay are different. They have a track record of all of this saying this works. So usually for an organization, you're not allowed to take a guy for in the first round and then sit him for 3 years. That usually doesn't happen. And it's not something that an owner will, they want the returns immediately. But with the Bears then, it's like, all right, you don't necessarily have that option. But again, your entire structure, when you talk about the GM and the head coach and everybody, and you bring in a new offensive coordinator, all of these guys are on different timelines. All of these guys have different agendas. All these guys have different pressures of, hey, I need to win right now. Or maybe, you know, you get a little bit of a leash with whatever. So it all matters and it all ties in. And part of this whole thing, too, that I remember talking about a lot that was dismissed a lot was they're trying to build a stadium. And that affects the money that is available to make these kinds of decisions, whether it's to get rid of Justin Fields in the first place because you don't really want to pay the quarterback, when that was a whole thing of should they even draft Caleb Williams, or should they cut ties with Matt Eberflus while he still has years left on his contract. You don't want to pay a coach when you're trying to build a stadium that's not coaching for you. So like all of these things, there's so much that goes into these decisions that are made from like not just on the field, but there's so much internally. And that's why I keep saying too, I need to see it with the Bears. And I think that they've done everything right because they've done everything differently this year. But I really hope that, you know, with the way Ben Johnson worked with Jared Goff, although it was a little rough in the beginning from the things that I heard, there was a buffer that was kind of needed initially because they're both very intense people. I think that it could end up happening here, but they worked through it and they had a great working relationship in Detroit. And Jared really saw the game through Ben Johnson's eyes. And I think that's the goal here with Caleb Williams. Whether or not that translates to wins, to go all the way back to the first topic we were talking about, I don't know. So that's why I'm like, I can't in good faith think that the Bears with this schedule and a new coach and a new regime and a new culture are going to get off to the hottest start imaginable.
You mentioned the luxury in Green Bay for Jordan Alexander Love to be sitting down before.
Alexander.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. To play. Do you think he's like, it feels like, and I, as somebody who has been a fan of the Bears and has covered the Chicago Bears, it's a dangerous game to play. But is it possible that Jordan Love is not going to be great? Is that possible? Is that the direction where you're heading? Not great.
It's possible. Anything's possible.
I know that's not the answer.
I'm still a big believer in Jordan Love.
Okay. All right.
I know it was a down year last year, but he was in and out of injury, playing through a lot of pain. He had a lot of the weapons around him were injured and kind of a rotating cast. Like he didn't really have any consistency outside of Josh Jacobs, which I thought was going to kind of be able to carry the team a little bit more than it did. But at the end of the day, I mean, the Packers still made the playoffs and you're not going to have, you know, NFC title results every single year. And I mean, Aaron Rodgers didn't have that. Brett Favre didn't have that. There were down and up years, but I really do think that Jordan Love is made of the stuff that you need to be a quarterback, just from the work ethic I've seen out of him and all of the games that I've watched Jordan Love very, very closely. And he was given all of the right resources to lay the best foundation he could have possibly laid. And I do think that he's going to keep building from there. You saw what they did this year. They finally drafted a receiver in the first round for the first time since Jordy Nelson. They added to the offensive line to make sure that they have the best five up front in front of Jordan Love to hopefully stymie some of those injuries that he can be prone to with how mobile he is. But I grew up in Chicago too, Grody.
Like, I know.
Until I see it, and I said this from the very beginning, I was like, until I see it, I'm just going to assume that Green Bay has a really, really, really good quarterback.
Wait a minute. What happened to all that anything is possible stuff you said at the beginning?
No,
it's possible. Do I think it's probable?
I know.
No, I know.
You're very reasonable.
30 years of life experience would tell me.
Carmen, you're a very reasonable reporter.
What I'm curious about is, based on the way you guys are talking about Green Bay and their quarterback situation, how likely is it that Green Bay has the worst quarterback in the division as far as results this year?
Yeah, how about that?
I don't think that's very likely, because I do still think, again, we have a rookie in Minnesota. And for as much as I love Kevin O'Connell, and I think that the world of him and the way that he develops quarterback, I think J.J. McCarthy is in the best possible scenario that he could be in. And apparently a scenario that Caleb Williams wanted to be in, by the way. He's still going to take, it's still going to be a learning curve. There's still an adjustment to this level of play. And I think that Caleb Williams is going to have a learning curve too. Like, I keep going back to the fact that when Ben Johnson took over the Detroit offense, they started 1-6. Like, it didn't look great. And in that 7-game span, they were only averaging, I think, about 24 points a game. I just did this, so you think I'd remember. I wrote about it last week. They were only averaging 24 points a game, which is a very far cry from what we saw from Detroit last year, where they're averaging a league-leading 31 points a game, or 32, whatever it was. So this takes time to develop. And when you think about the timelines that these guys are on, I mean, Jordan Love has another year under his belt, even with some adversity, which I think is a net good for him. Jared Goff is a vested veteran. So I do think that you're still going to see Caleb struggle. I think you're going to see J.J. McCarthy struggle, but I don't expect Jordan Love to struggle like he struggled last year, and I certainly don't expect Jared Goff to struggle when he still has all of the weapons around him, even if he's changing coordinators.
Well, Carmen Vitale, we appreciate the time. Thanks for hanging with us. Sorry about the breaking news on Thursday, but these things happen. Please.
Thanks so much, Carmen.
Things happen. Of course.
Plus,
anytime,
I got
guys.
To talk to you, so that's what So
got bonus Grody.
Yeah, see, we love a good hangout, so everybody's hanging out with us talking football.
You should come in the studio sometime, hang out with us.
Yes.
That's an invitation.
I will. Yes, I good. Will, in fact.
Awesome.
And bring me some Erewhon. That's all I ask for. The Southern.
I don't know how that's going to travel, but I'll bring you some of their kombucha. It's my new favorite kombucha. I can't even. I'm such a. It's. I'm. I, nah.
I will try it the next time I'm in Southern California. I also love the
metabolic. Such a basic girl.
The Sakura powder. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
Basic ain't bad. Yeah. It's just basic. It's just, it is what it is.
You like common things.
And we are
I like
also.
What I like.
And we're also changing this show to the Chicago football show as well. So there it is.
Okay. We're all going to be on the Chicago football show.
We will be Show Football Chicago. It will be a completely different show. Carmen Vitale, Fox Sports, Carmi V. Also, yes, the Chicago Football Show podcast
Bears.
For Marquee. Mostly Bears.
Bears.
Yes. Bears. Carvey got us a Bears. We have more coming up here on The Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Mark Grody. The Bears made a stadium decision on Friday. That kind of got lost in everything, too, or at least reports say.
I'm so surprised.
They already made that stadium decision years ago. We'll talk about it next.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Just to be clear on the stadium, if everything comes together, yes. You guys have said the focus is now the lakefront.
Yep.
Everything comes together, all the obstacles, the money. The plan is to put a shovel on the ground on the lakefront, or does Arlington Heights get a chance to come back? And
the plan would be to put a shovel on the ground on the lakefront.
You sure about that?
All right. right, I'll say it on the air.
Say it on the air.
This is the Rahimi and Harris Show with Mark Grody on the score. I think we need to do a montage of all the lakefront talk and put it to some sort of song that bids goodbye. Because some of us always knew what the plan was.
Mark, you going to raise your hand?
I mean, like when asked the question of the stadium, I always wanted it downtown. But when I really had to say where it's going to be, I'd say I think it's going to end up being in Arlington.
See, it's going to be where you spent hundreds of millions of dollars.
Walk me through the I want it to be downtown and what they were going to do with that land.
With Arlington Heights land, what they would have, who cares what they would have done with
no,
that
the downtown land.
I'm just saying from a practical standpoint, you bought a 326 acre property.
Yeah.
What are you doing with that if you're not building a stadium on it, if you're the Bears?
Sell it.
You just think it's that easy to just flip?
Yeah.
Because if there's one thing that's
if there's one
thing that's really moving right now, it's large tracts of land built for resident. You know,
he watches a lot of HGTV.
You could build a bunch of houses on there. The Bears would they would have survived.
Obviously, supply costs. You think that the street is really into houses building right now?
Why would they have allowed Kevin Warren to put on a 2-hour presentation downtown as thorough as he did if they weren't serious about it?
Because Kevin Warren did everything he was supposed to do and everything he could once he got the job
they were serious,
to try to fix it.
Well, they were serious enough about it that they didn't really care about the Arlington Heights property. They would have I realize it's a complicated matter, but they would have figured it out. They would have done something with it, and maybe they would have sold the property. Obviously, George McCaskey, the McCaskey said, go ahead, Kevin Warren. If you want to make your play for downtown, we'll listen, unless you guys are saying it was a ploy the whole time.
I don't even think it was a ploy. I think that at best, you can argue it was an insurance plan. What's going on in Arlington Heights.
Yeah.
I never got to the point, though, where I believed it was a secondary thing as opposed to the primary thing, because I never could figure out where money was coming from to get it built down here and how they were going to get permission also to build it down here.
We're having this discussion.
Do you think that Kevin Warren was being serious?
I think if you look at the actions and the process and the order that everything happened in, it is easy to see what was going on. I don't accuse Kevin Warren of anything because I think he was brought in to do a job. But the way this is done is typically a team will say, we want to be at X or Y place. Then the municipalities get into a bidding war as to what incentives they want to offer. It's not usually the case where a team says, here's a bunch of land, we should buy that. And then they do. And then they communicate to everybody that that is their sole focus. Also, keep in mind, this whole thing originally started because reportedly, according to Freedom of Information Act searches and everything else, because it's a public entity, that the Bears wanted to put a sports book at Soldier Field and the city said no. That's a part of this, too, that is underreported. But that was originally one of the main stories. They go out and get Arlington Heights. Then they tell everybody it's their sole focus. If it really wasn't, they would have sold it because nobody wants to have land that you're paying taxes on sit there vacant for 2 years. They paid $197 million for it. I always thought it was going to be there. They just put their order of operations was incorrect. So Kevin Warren comes in, and it's his job to try to build some sort of leverage to then therefore get the tax rate that's more favorable.
So it was all leverage then. Kevin Warren was never serious about wanting a stadium.
I think he was doing what he could to try to get a more favorable outcome, period.
Okay, so
but they never did anything with the land.
Yeah.
They could have put it back up for sale.
I think also, when you're talking about were they serious, yes, I think they were serious if they could get something that was palatable to them. My point is they were never going to get a palatable enough deal. And it does create leverage when you have multiple sites going up against each other. And that's how they got to the tax rate that they have right now. Before building.
I agree with that. I think I am agreeing with Layla too, but I am more positive, I think, opinion, I suppose, that Kevin Warren was very serious about wanting it to be downtown. That, yeah, leverage came along the way and you had to have that in your back pocket, so to speak, but I do think that Kevin Warren wanted like the ideal, and maybe it was never realistic. That I'll give, but I do think that he wanted that thing downtown.
A47's like that property in AH would be perfect for a mall and condos. They're not building malls. Like, I don't know if you've noticed
malls
that, but those
down.
Are not necessarily something that you can fill right now with tenants.
I think a team worth billions, that I mean, it's sounds crazy, but if they had gotten clearance to build downtown, they would have figured out what to do with the Arlington Heights property, even if it's selling the Arlington Heights property.
I get what Kevin Warren was trying to do. I don't even take it as personally as a lot of people have. But the order of operations was all off. Here's the frustrating part is only later did the city and our tax dollars spend money for a presentation to the Bears after the Bears had already bought Arlington Heights. And then they're like, oh, here's all the things that we can do to Soldier Field. As if Cook County doesn't still owe over $500 million on renovations. Like that's the thing that I always go back to here. It is as simple as follow the money.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the money is a huge part. The leverage is a huge part. Simply put, I think Kevin Warren wanted it downtown.
There's a lot of things we all want that we know aren't really going to happen.
Did you just end it with Bears?
No,
he didn't say Bears.
I thought you said, I think Kevin Warren wanted it downtown.
The reason that when I say I wanted it downtown is I always knew the reasonable place to have it, obviously, is Arlington Heights. So I'm not arguing against anything you're saying. I'm just saying, I am saying that Kevin Warren wanted it downtown. I don't think you guys necessarily believe that. That's what I'm feeling right now.
We're talking right now, Raheemy Harris, and yes, Mark Grody, the dissenting voice this particular segment on the Bears stadium situation and their decision to now focus on Arlington Heights as opposed to what we had prior, which was the focus on the lakefront, which we heard over and over and over and over again, and now that's over.
Yeah, which sucks, by the way. I hate it.
It's an easy thing to say. It's an easy thing to say where your focus is, but it's an evident thing to say where your money went.
Yeah, well,
and money went to Arlington Heights.
And I admit part of this is what I wanted. I love that property. I love Soldier Field being, or the stadium, whatever it would become, to be along the lakefront. And I like my teams being in the city of Chicago proper.
And you know what? No one is over here hating on your wants or your needs. We want you to get what you want and you need,
do
Mark
you?
Grody.
Do you?
I do. Okay. I do. All Unfortunately, the Bears' wants and needs come before yours in this conversation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think the Bears' wants were to be downtown, and now they need to probably be in Arlington Heights.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the point here. And so none of this should have come to a surprise to anyone who's actually been paying attention. And I know this did not surprise Mark Grody nor Layla Raheemy, certainly not me. And I'm just wondering, when is this all going to take place? The shovels in the ground in 2025 sound very realistic now based on this focus shift. And also, how long will it take to complete said project?
Right. I don't think there's time now to go back to downtown. For sure. I'm resigned to the idea that it's going to be in Arlington Heights now. Like, if you want to put shovels in the ground by 2025, and I heard Mark Gannis on this morning with Molly and Haw, that there's so much more that they still have to do to get to the point where you're putting the shovels in the ground, to the point where he did mention early 2026 is when the shovels actually might go in the ground.
Construction costs will be so reasonable. Let's listen to Mark Gannis from this morning.
Well, you know, the White Sox have got the luxury of time. That building has been it has been maintained very well. So they have the luxury of time, but their lease comes up, somewhere around 2030 also. Mm. I've forgotten the exact date. So it's the kind of thing that needs to get done now. I mean, and Jerry is ready, willing, and able. Look, I've had the pleasure of being able to spend a little time with him recently, and you know, we've had a lot of discussions in politics these days about, you know, people who are in their 80s and whether, you know, where they are cognitively. Let me tell you something. Jerry Reinsdorf is as sharp as he has ever been. This man is brilliant. He's, 88 years old now?
Right.
And he is so sharp, so smart, so on top of things. This is the guy you want to do a deal with. He's done it before. He's done it multiple times before. He's the guy that can get things done. That's the guy they should be working with right now.
So Mark Gannis threw out there the concept of Jerry Reinsdorf working with the Bears. And I know they were both battling for public funds for stadiums. So that was a wrinkle that was brought in this morning as well.
I'd rather see the White Sox at the 78.
Mm. We took a Sox turn here. Whoa. Wasn't ready for that.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
About that. I had to get us from point A to B somehow.
The idea that the White Sox would be that far away Now I'm with you, Mark Grody, on where you want your teams to play, right? Because I'm not going to Arlington Heights for a baseball game. Yeah, that's a different type of commute. We're talking about when do the White Sox play?
During the summer?
No. I mean, like, what time of day do they play?
Oh, at night. Yeah.
Like, can you imagine White Sox fans trying to get to Arlington? That doesn't make any sense.
They have to have a hard enough time getting to the ballpark that exists right now.
Exactly.
Let
so my
alone
point
what
being,
it would be like in Arlington Heights. But there are a lot of fans in the suburbs too.
That makes no sense for Jerry Reinsdorf. Although all that really makes sense to Jerry Reinsdorf right now is just keep the money coming, keep printing the money.
I think if he knows a way to. If he knows a way to somehow subsidize a stadium, he'll do it.
Like, yes.
That's the ballpark they're in right now is publicly funded. So I get that concept and that part of it as well. But as far as the original concept, the Bears' argument would have been a lot more believable had they not sat on a $200 million piece of land.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, like I said, wanted it downtown. And anybody that asked me, like privately or on the air, where do you think it's going to be? You have to Arlington Heights.
Yeah,
Arlington Heights.
Yeah, I think.
Also, it's still just you only get eight or nine games regular season. That's all the guarantee is for a football stadium, and that's why I think that has to factor in here as well. Ballpark is different. You're talking about 81, so. That also would make it make more sense for the public's money if there is any part of it. But
I think that's a great point, Layla. And the other thing is, even after they open this thing out in Arlington Heights, let's take Beyonce for instance. Is she going to perform out in Arlington Heights, or is she going to perform at Soldier Field?
Well, the concert wouldn't have ended at 1 o'clock on Thursday night and Friday morning if it had been in a dome.
Well, I think the problem is Bears 2 will probably be playing at Soldier Field, so Beyonce will not be allowed in the building.
At Bears 2, the game comes to you. Like, where do the people want Bears 2?
A floating dome?
Is it at a high school stadium? Let's go.
Yeah, hey, whatever. We were talking about Grant Park. Like, you could get rid of the softball fields, let Bears 2 play there.
I like those softball fields, kickball.
I do too. I've played on them many times.
My favorite part of the Bears stadium discussion was where everybody just wanted to blow up sites to put the Bears. Like, it just became, clearly it became about people's preferred place that they wanted to destroy.
Every town was raising their hands. We got room for you at this Top Golf. It was like, let's go, bring the Bears here.
At some point, people just started getting rid of, like, people they hated, houses, it just started to get really personal with the places they wanted to put the Bears stadium.
It did.
That was my favorite part, the destruction. This is construction.
Demolition.
Still fun, just
the
not
demolition
the same.
That would occur.
We have more coming up with Raheemy Harris and Grody on the Score. Did we still want to do restaurant talk next?
Oh, we're going to do our bonus question that didn't make it on the five on it, which is directly related to the Beyonce concert.
Oh, yes.
And what you may not have heard.
I know the question, and I like the question.
Bears.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready?
Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Playing the hits.
Without further ado, because we can't pay off anything on the show appropriately, the number 5 question from our 5 on it is what, gentlemen? 5
on it. So I don't know if you guys know, but I went to Beyonce this weekend.
So great did everybody.
Show. I don't know. I haven't told anyone yet. But
so many friends went, and I didn't go.
Everybody went but me.
I saw everybody going.
I hit my concert quota earlier this month, so I'm good on
it. It was a fantastic show, but she only did about, like, I would say 10% of her hits, and it's about a 3-hour show. So it's a lot of her new stuff. I get it. She won Album of the Year. She has some great new music. But the question is, are you disappointed if you go to a concert and the artist you see plays most of their new stuff and not the hits?
If it's somebody who's still making albums on a regular basis like Beyonce, no. If it's somebody whose latest album was 10 or 15 years ago, and this is some side project or some lower level album that they're releasing to try to get back on track? Yes.
I think the thing for me is I've seen a lot of acts after their prime, and they're always trying to promote that new album. And you got songs that aren't quite of the caliber of the old albums. I'll give you an example. I went to a Boyz II Men concert. This was probably 20 years ago. It wasn't like yesterday, but it wasn't back in 2000, okay?
Didn't they do a remake of Yesterday, by the way?
They may have. I don't know. I just remember listening to the songs off their new album, like, as part of the concert. I was like, all right, when are you going to get to the good stuff? And that's a frustrating feeling as a concert goer, to go to a concert that might be, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it's 30 minutes of the stuff you came to see, and it's an hour to an hour and a half of the stuff you don't care about.
Yeah.
That's the difference here.
Well, and I agree with you guys. Like, when an old band does a new album, usually the new stuff sucks or sounds a little bit like their hits, but not really their hits, you know, back in the day. I went a couple of when I really came into this was a couple of years ago. I don't remember what it was, like a drive-up concert I went to for Bon Jovi. Like, it was on a movie screen. Basically, they were doing a live show. It was pandemic time. Must have been pandemic time. And Bon Jovi was playing a bunch of nonsense. Like, I don't like Bon Jovi enough anymore to, like, I did. Like, I love, like, in high school, I loved Def Leppard and Bon Jovi and all those kind of cheesy rock bands. And, like, for the nostalgia, I went, let's hear all their hits. And they played a bunch of nonsense the whole time. And then maybe 3 of their hit songs. And I was like,
3?
Get out of here.
Like, just play Photograph, Def Leppard.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, so
yes.
You love
Pour some sugar on me, you know, yeah. And then let's get out of here. Pour the sugar, let's go. Now sugar, home.
That's the difference between going to a concert of someone who's prime is past versus going to somebody's concert who's in their prime. So I just saw Kendrick and SZA, and they played all their hits because they got a lot of hits.
Uh-huh.
Dude, Kendrick's concert could have been like 5 hours.
It was long. It was about 3+, I want to say.
But I don't... I think with Beyonce in particular, and even Taylor Swift, you know what you're getting into because they tell you. Like, she's like, this is the Cowboy Carter tour. Okay, mission accomplished. I know what I'm going there for. Taylor, this is the Eras tour. Got it. Okay, I know what I'm going to get when I go there. Not necessarily the case with some of the other acts. I will say this, going to Disturbed and 3 Days Grace about a month and a half ago at the UC, RIP to the banners that are now back up. But they did play a mix of not only celebrating the anniversary of the Sickness album, but also then some of their newer stuff too, which I thought was pretty cool. But they did it right. Like they catered to all, they sprayed to all fields.
Okay. My question is, Robbie, didn't you have a cowboy hat on going to this concert?
Damn right, I had a cowboy hat on.
So you knew what it was and what it wasn't.
See, I did, but like when she played her hits, she did it in like a mashup style. Yeah. So it was like Crazy in Love, and then it was like to the left, whatever that, whatever.
Felt like, felt like a halftime
but it
show,
was,
didn't it?
It was like going so quickly, and then
felt
she,
like
would,
a halftime
she would
show.
Do every song on her album, full, which the Parkins.
It's the Cowboy Carter tour.
Everything you want in the box to the left.
All the single ladies.
That's not about me.
Like, if you saw Mariah Carey in concert and Mariah Carey wasn't playing all those number ones, you'd be upset.
Hey, what did they end with? What was the finale song last night? Did you stay till the end?
I saw us on Thursday. It was something on her new album, so I didn't know. But she was also in a car that was floating around
that was
the
at
entire...
the end?
It was her.
I saw that on social media. Mm.
Dude, the Lawrence cackle in the background. I love her off-mic laughs on this show.
Wait, she did one of her new songs as her finale
That's
song?
What I'm saying.
Okay, it was the Cowboy Carter tour.
Okay.
You still got to play
the hits.
Oh,
so she did none of her new hits? She did none of the hits?
She
did
in a mashup.
In a
to the left, to the left.
Show, yeah.
She just went on tour like 2 years ago.
She goes on tour every year.
Her greatest
and every year she gives you the last album she did, and then she'll give you a little sprinkle of the old stuff.
Oh man.
When she's playing in Vegas and or doing whatever, and people are paying, you know, $10,000 per ticket, then she'll do her greatest hits.
See, this is also how I feel about people disappointed in Rihanna's shows. Rihanna's on a totally different level. Rihanna's doing art direction and storytelling. Like, Rihanna doesn't care. Here's a baby announcement. And that's Rihanna.
You wanted the Usher in Vegas concert. That's what
I
you
think
wanted,
so.
Where Usher just played, like, the hits.
Well, let me make it clear. This show is incredible. It's one of the best live shows I've ever seen. The videos and the visual, like, if you have a chance to see her, like, you should do it, even though I'm not the biggest fan of her. Like, I don't, like, listen to her as much as the people I was with. But it is, like, I would expect a little bit more, knowing her catalog is so big as it is.
847 on the text line. The worst is going to see a band you like and one of your favorite songs, they bring out the chairs and play it acoustically. Sucks.
Yeah, one thing
we're going to play the acoustic version of Welcome to the Jungle.
One thing that I have a love-hate relationship, I think, with the concerts, like I like it more than I used to, is when they have the crowd sing entire verses of it in unison, and I'm always like, no,
I didn't come to hear
you. You sing it. I'm not here to sing it.
I'm good
with
crowd.
Do you know what that
I'm
is?
Good with the hook.
That's Singer Went Out last night.
Oh, no, that's ego. That's, you know, my song.
No,
this
no,
is very cool.
I like that on, like, the hooks, or if there's, like, a certain part. Guess, I mean, you could guess, Kendrick, which part of which song he was letting the crowd fill in the blanks on. I mean, very popular phrases based on his battle with Drake.
That one song.
Which I thought was over, but apparently Drake's out here still hitting platinum on new stuff, so there's still a lot of Drake fans. Somebody's lying about what they're consuming.
But they are. They definitely are.
That's a great call on the acoustic,
but also,
too.
I mean,
though,
how many albums is Kendrick up to now? Like, is it 4 or 5? It's 5, right?
It's either 5 or 6, yeah. I want to say.
So, okay, same idea, right? When you have that many albums, I'm not expecting him to just play stuff from Good Kid, Mad City.
224, Third Eye Blind, acoustic, awful.
Oh, no.
Apparently Weezer at Riot Fest is going to do a greatest hits show. And so there you go. So if you need the hits, Weezer's got them for you this year.
That'll be fantastic.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Robbie, I'm glad you survived the concert.
It was in the middle of a storm as well, so I did think I was going to pass, but I survived.
A sick dust storm? Wait, it was Thursday, right?
Yeah, Thursday. There Friday. Was a, I was. That's why Soldier Field, there's no dome, which would have been great if there was a dome,
but there
was just a storm going on. I was getting pelted with, like, rain.
Tell me some bad DJ somewhere on Friday played Sandstorm by Darude. Tell me it happened.
No, it was Enter Sandman, actually, what they played.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can see all that.
And then they're like, yo, what's up with this sandstorm?
Up with these tornadoes, okay, man?
I'm going to punch you in the face.
What's up with these dust storms, man? Where does that even come from, man?
If you know that reference that we're making, you're a real P1. Spiegel and Holmes are next.
Hilarious.
Ring the bell. We've done it again. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates to 4.875 fixed. Lower your monthly payment, get cash out, pay off credit cards, and best of all, make no mortgage payments for 2 months. Lock in this incredible 4.875 rate and get your cash in as little as 14 days. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
5.81 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hosting season's here. Are your windows guest ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.